News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. After the mega cabinet reshuffle last week, the young ministers of the Narendra Modi government have got another big elevation through entries in the crucial cabinet committees, which were reconstituted on Monday. Environment and Labour Minister Bhupendra Yadav has been included in the all-important Cabinet Committee on Political Affairs, or CCPA, along with Ports Minister Sarbananda Sonowal, Health Minister Mansukh Mandaviya, and Rural Development Minister Giriraj Singh. All of them have been included in the CCPA for the first time. The predecessors of Yadav and Sonowal in their respective ministries were earlier not a part of the CCPA. Another notable inclusion showing her rise in stature is Women and Child Development Minister Smriti Irani, who will be in the CCPA for the first time. Law Minister Kiran Rijiju and Information and Broadcasting and Sports Minister Anurag Thakur have been included as members of the Cabinet Committee on Parliamentary Affairs for the first time, along with Tribal Affairs Minister Arjun Munda. Rijiju takes the place of Ravi Shankar Prasad, while Thakur replaces Prakash Javadekar in this committee. Virendra Kumar, the Minister of Social Justice and Empowerment, has also been included in place of Thavar Chand Gehlot, who is now Governor of Karnataka. Another key inclusion is of Civil Aviation Minister Jyotiraditya Sindhya in the Cabinet Committee on Investment and Growth, while his predecessor in the same ministry was not a part of this committee. Railways, IT and Telecom Minister Ashwini Vaishnav and MSME Minister Narayan Rane have also been included in this committee, but their predecessors were part of it too. Bhupendra Yadav and Ashwini Vaishnav have also been included in the Cabinet Committee on Employment and Skill Development, where Steel Minister R.C.P. Singh from the JDU has been included as a special invitee. G. Kishan Reddy, the Culture and Tourism Minister, has also been included as a special invitee in this committee, while Smriti Irani and Prahlad Patel will no longer be the special invitees to this committee as earlier. Ravi Shankar Prasad and Prakash Javadekar have lost their place in multiple cabinet committees after their exit from the cabinet, so have Harshvardhan and Sadananda Gowda. A place on the cabinet committees is generally a virtue of the portfolio the minister holds. However, there are cases like in the present rejig, where ministers have found place in key cabinet committees, while their predecessors in the same ministries did not. And in a setback for India, fugitive Diamantaya Mehul Choksi has been granted bail by the Dominican High Court on medical grounds. He can now travel back to Antigua and Barbuda to seek treatment. Choksi, however, will have to return to Dominica to face charges of illegal entry. His bail bond has been set at an amount of 10,000 EC or Eastern Caribbean dollar. Choksi had mysteriously gone missing on May 23 from Antigua and Barbuda, where he has been staying since 2018 as a citizen after he fled Delhi. He was detained in the neighboring island country Dominica for alleged illegal entry. His lawyers claimed that he was kidnapped from Jolly Harbor in Antigua by policemen who looked like Antiguan and Indian and then brought to Dominica on a boat. Choksi had on Wednesday filed a case in the Dominica High Court against the Chief of Police, Investigating Police Officer Alain Maximia, Minister of National Security Rayburn Blackmore, and Magistrate Candia Carrete George. His lawyers are seeking a declaration from the court that the decision of the police chief and investigating officer to charge Choksi is an abuse of the process of the court and or a violation of the rule of law and is accordingly unlawful, null and void and of no effect. Choksi, who is a key accused in the Rs 13,000 crore PNB loan fraud case in India, also wants the court to quash the criminal charge against him for breach of Section 27A of the Immigration and Passport Act. His lawyers had asked the court for an order declaring that the decision of Rayburn Blackmore, Minister of National Security, was taken in breach of the principles of natural justice. They are further seeking an order of certiorari in which a higher court orders a lower court to deliver to it a case record for review of the lower court's decision. They have also sought cost and damages on Choksi's behalf. The order has come as a major jolt to Indian efforts to bring back Choksi. His lawyers had alleged that he was abducted from Antigua and Barbuda in an elaborate plot hatched by men of Indian origin and a mystery woman named Barbara Jabarika, who had befriended him during the last 6 months. After the news of Choksi being held in Dominica surfaced, India rushed a team of officials led by Central Bureau of Investigation DIG Sharda Raut to make every effort to bring Choksi back on the basis of an Interpol red notice against him. The effort was unsuccessful as Choksi's lawyers moved with unprecedented agility to file a habeas corpus petition before the Dominica High Court, which was admitted for hearing. The High Court directed Choksi to face trial before a magistrate court for illegal entry, and he was denied bail. However, he was kept at the Dominica China Friendship Hospital considering his medical condition. Choksi and his nephew Nirav Modi had fled India in the first week of January 2018, weeks before a multi-crore scam in the Punjab National Bank rocked the Indian banking industry. The duo allegedly bribed officials of the state-run bank to get letters of undertaking, based on which they availed loans from overseas banks that remained unpaid. Hollywood star Jackie Chan, one of the biggest cinema and martial arts icons based in Hong Kong and among recognizable and influential film personalities in the world, has expressed interest to join the ruling Communist Party of China. The 67-year-old has in the past come under sharp criticism for backing Beijing's crackdown on pro-democracy protests in the former British colony. The actor, director and martial artist expressed his desire to join the CPC at a symposium in Beijing on Thursday, in which Chinese film insiders spoke and shared their thoughts regarding the keynote speech delivered by President Xi Jinping at the centenary celebrations of the party on July 1. At the symposium, Chan, also the vice chairman of the China Film Association, spoke about his interest to join the CPC, state-run Global Times reported on Monday. "I can see the greatness of the CPC, and it will deliver what it says and what it promises in less than 100 years, but only a few decades," Chan said. "I want to become a CPC member," he added. Chan has been a supporter of the CPC for years and served as a member of Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, an advisory body of professionals nominated by the party. Since 2013, Chan has been a pro-communist politician serving in the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. After the Hong Kong electoral reform in 2021, Chan became an election committee member and could vote for the chief executive. Known for his slapstick, acrobatic fighting style, comic timing and innovative stunts, Chan has performed in more than 150 films, which have made him popular both in the East and the West. The martial arts icon also drew sharp criticism in 2019 when he hit out at pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong. "I have visited many countries and I can say our country has been rapidly developing in recent years. I feel pride in being Chinese wherever I go, and the five-starred red flag is respected everywhere around the world," Chan said in an interview to China's official media. "Hong Kong and China are my birthplaces and my home. China is my country. I love my country. I love my home. I hope that Hong Kong can return to peace soon," he had said in 2019. After grappling with prolonged mass protests in Hong Kong opposing China's control over the former British colony, Beijing took control of it by passing the National Security Law last year, which was tailor-made to crack down against dissent. Under the new law, which was criticized by the US, EU and other countries, a large number of protesters and their leaders were arrested and jailed. The World Health Organization issued new recommendations on Monday on human genome editing, calling for a global registry to track any form of genetic manipulation and proposing a whistleblowing mechanism to raise concerns about unethical or unsafe research. The UN Health Agency commissioned an expert group in late 2018 following a dramatic announcement from Chinese scientist He Jiankui that he had created the world's first gene-edited babies. In two reports on Monday, WHO's expert group said all studies involving human genome editing should be made public, although the committee noted that wouldn't necessarily stop unprincipled scientists. In the field of stem cell research, unscrupulous entrepreneurs and clinics have deliberately misused clinical trial registries by registering procedures they plan to undertake as if they were properly sanctioned clinical trials, the group said, calling for WHO to ensure that all genetic editing research registered in their database are reviewed and approved by an ethics committee. When Chinese scientist Jian Kui announced he had altered the DNA of twin babies to prevent them from catching HIV, he said the university where he worked was not aware and that he had funded the work himself. He was later sentenced to 3 years in jail for conducting illegal medical practices. WHO's expert group also said the UN agency should develop ways to identify any potentially concerning gene editing trials, saying a mechanism should be developed for reporting violations of research integrity. Robin Lovell Badge of the Francis Crick Institute, one of the experts on the committee, cited several instances where scientists in Russia, Ukraine, and Turkey planning controversial genetic editing experiments were pressured not to proceed and called for a more formal whistleblowing mechanism. Still, the group acknowledged that as gene editing techniques become cheaper and easier to use, the ability of WHO to monitor such research is limited. The UN agency also has no authority to compel countries to cooperate, even during a public health emergency. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.